Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we've been discussing Dasham, one of the nine processes of devotional service. And, you know, we discussed some interesting concepts that, you know, this Dasham, of course, is discussing a person who has, it includes all other, one who does Dasham, it includes all other of the nine processes of devotional service done properly, and it is a state of consciousness whereby one is fixed up in that concept that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and then when there is opportunity to actively engage in that, according to that consciousness, one takes every opportunity and one never falls down from that state of consciousness, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. So Prabhupada describes it as a, you know, it's for liberated devotees. Those who, you know, have a strong taste for serving Krishna, for service, you know, for actually serving Krishna. And we understand that that service, that, you know, taste and attraction, affection for serving Krishna, it is what takes one to the spiritual platform. You know, some who may have some follow different processes of appreciating the Lord through yoga or what have you, appreciating the super soul. But, you know, when there's a sense of bhakti, they want to reciprocate. And reciprocate means service. And that takes one onto the spiritual platform, because one is, you know, actively engaging in one's, according to one's constitutional position. So this, you know, properly speaking, the liberated platform of devotional service is the Shakti, although from the very beginning devotees are attaining different degrees of liberation. Nishta means that they're predominantly you know, not acting according to the lower modes of material nature. Ashakti means that, you know, there's no attachment to the material identity, and one is fully attached to one's spiritual identity. So in between that, Ruchi, you know, a devotee is predominantly on the liberated platform. Has a strong taste for spiritual activities above everything else. They may not be 100% liberated as they are on the Shakti platform, but by and large they're acting on the liberated platform with a strong attachment for serving. So let's take it from that point. Let's go a little further. So and we'll discuss, here's a quotation by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur from it's from Vani by Bhava. And Śrīla Bhakti Sarasvati Thakura describes that by developing greed for Krishna's service, the Vaishnava's service, and by chanting the holy names, one will not develop greed for inferior things. One who becomes greedy by seeing the Brajabasi's service to Krishna is fortunate. By the mercy of that greed, he attains the qualification for Raga Bhakti. One's material greed is vanquished in proportion to one's development of greed for Ragatmika service. So, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura is describing. Now, let's just look at the next quotation by. So this is the next statement in Vani by Bhava on the same subject matter by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. He is saying that the propensity born of two kinds of prejudices, ancient and modern, is called ruchi. So previously we heard that ruchi is this greed for Krishna's service, for, you know, or hankering for spiritual things, right? Ruchi. The great hankering, a taste for those spiritual things. And that propensity is, you know, it has two types. Ancient and modern, he calls them. Modern is temporary. But he says those who have no taste for ruchi, or ruchi for Sringara rasa, you know, the conjugal rasa, but who have taste for dasya or sakya rasa, should follow the instructions suitable for their respective rasas. Otherwise, it will create unnecessary problems. The perfected original ruchi of the great Vaishnava Sri Samananda Prabhu was not manifest at first. Therefore, he was instructed to enter Sakya Ras. Later, by Jiva Goswami Prabhu's mercy, Samananda attained his original spontaneous bhajan. This is a well-known fact. Qualification and eligibility play a prominent role during Sri Chaitanya Dev's incarnation. So, there's an interesting statement there that how Samananda Prabhu, eventually he took up the conjugal rasa like a manjari. But in the beginning, because that wasn't, as it says, you know, manifested, so he was first instructed to, you know, enter the Sakya Rasa, so serving Krishna in friendship rasa, or, you know, someone may be instructed to serve Krishna in Dasya Rasa, like that. Even though the rasa which they will come to is conjugal rasa, if it's not manifested at that certain stage, other preliminary rasas are suitable devotional activities and mood until conjugal rasa manifests. So, you know, we have been discussing that basically for every devotee, they really have to, you know, have the dasyarati or the mood of the eternal servant of Krishna, no matter what their conjugal rasa is, because that's the basis of all other rasas. See? There's no, it's not an impediment, it's actually a helpful stepping stone. And this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the core, is giving evidence of Shyamananda Prabhu in this regard, in his Vani Bhai Bhava. And now, and as you see here, he's describing a taste for, you know, when we have ruchi or a taste for devotional service, we might have a taste for devotional service followed by the Brajavasis particularly, or, in which case that is raga bhakti, you know, that type of ruchi qualifies one for raga bhakti. If we have a taste for serving Krishna in the Vaikuntha mood, in awe and reverence, that type of ruchi qualifies us for Vaidhi Bhakti. Either way, those who qualify for Raga Bhakti are eligible for Dasya or Sakya as eternal rasas. Those who qualify for Raga Bhakti can also be eligible for other rasas. But he points out that, you know, if someone is, you know, has a taste for that, only for that dasya sakyarasa, not for the sringara rasa of the prajavasis, then he says, you know, just follow instructions suitable for dasya and sakya, otherwise it will create a problem. So, you know, ruchi is synonymous with this greed or hankering, you know, for spiritual things, ruchi. You know, one is really, you know, really hankers for, greedy for, as much as they can get. And as we say, when they're greedy for things in the mood of spontaneous prajabhasis, you know, they have the qualification for raga bhakti, and that type of greed is also known as loba, because it's very intense. Loba is a very intense form of ruchi, which is and specifically related to those on the platform of raga bhakti attracted to the prajabhasis. Otherwise, that less intense form of greed is known as ruchi, just, you know, gives one the qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti. So, because, you know, in reading these, we're just seeing a little bit of a link, you know, dasya, as we can see, you know, the Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam Vandanam, dasyam sakyam. So what is that dasyam? That's what we're trying to understand. You know. So as you can see, there are different varieties of where. It is, you know, dasyam is properly performed by those who are literally do not fall down from devotional service, but who are constantly engaged in devotional service. You know, they're on the liberated platform properly. That's dasyam. And in that service, they engage in padasevanam, archanam, hearing, chanting. So, you know, so many different activities. And they never leave that consciousness. And that, you know, that dasyam. So the yogis don't may not develop that taste or attraction to serving, you know, actively serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And maybe, you know, they may appreciate the Lord, but in a passive way, a neutral way, santaras. But the mood of engaging in transcendental service takes one from the, you know, the edge, you know, in between material and spiritual, or even from the material platform onto the spiritual platform properly. So, you know, it's a very important. But coming onto the spiritual platform, one can be, you know, one has a strong attraction for service, you know, spiritual service, but that can be of Vaidhi Bhakti or Raga Bhakti. And, you know, the real you know, Ruchi is a significant starting, prominent starting point of this properly performing dasyam, you know, because Ruchi means one has such a strong attachment for it that one does not fall down. You know, certainly without a strong attachment for it, you know, one's going to be in and out a little bit, you know. That strong attachment means one doesn't fall down. One just has such a taste that they just always engage and they do not go back to the material platform. So, you know, that's Ruchi. And then Shakti is a, you know, more mature stage of that.
Last class you were explaining about these two types, karmatmanam and kinkarikam.
Yeah.
So, and in both cases there is hearing and chanting.
Yeah.
But in the second type, you said the mood is of a personal attendant of the Lord.
Mm.
So, is it the case that the person performing that level of bhakti, you would have realization of his swarup, or is it going to be, you know, he's still on the sadhana platform, but he's still...
Well, The second variety was, you know, by and large, although they're performing the same activities, one has a much more intense, you know, conscious meditation or realization of that service platform. But the point I'm making here is that although one may, as with Shamananda Prabhu, almost be instructed how to identify oneself as either the eternal servant of the Lord or the eternal friend of the Lord, you know, in those rasas, you know, which would be the second type, you know, it's something quite mature and, you know, significant. But still, it doesn't necessarily mean that's his eternal rasa. That's the thing, see? So, you know, you know, there are practical services that we do. as servants of the Lord. In this world, but then there's, you know, a level of service where we may be tasting rasa, but that may not necessarily be our eternal relationship. So the second level is, you know, is of a very high spiritual order, and a very high transcendental level of devotional service. The devotee may even, you know, be experiencing, you know, transcendental rasa on a very high level. But it doesn't necessarily mean that means that they're the eternal personal attendant of the Lord. They may have a different rasa. That's a thing. So the second one, you know, this is what we're seeing here. The second one doesn't necessarily mean that that's their eternal rasa. They may actually have a conjugal rasa or vatsalya or something like that. Yeah, yeah. But certainly it's the second variety is of a very elevated nature. You know, that as Prabhupada quite often points out with dasyam, sakyam, Atmanavasan, they're practiced by acharyas. You know, and acharyas are capable of tasting rasa. But although they may taste rasa, you know, in you know, being you know, through dasyam or sakyam, as one of the nine processes, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's their eternal relationship. But as we can see, the mood of dasyam is very important for all devotees, because it's really the beginning platform. No matter what your rasa is, that has to be there. And it's very important, because it really puts you on the spiritual platform very significantly, that active engagement. Yeah, so, and what is being pointed out also by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is that, you know, in the line of spiritual masters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly there's an attempt to guide a disciple from devotion in awe and reverence, right, as in Vaikuntha or even Mathura, to devotion in spontaneous love, as in Braja, particularly Madhurya Rasa. So, you know, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's so many, you know, when we sing the Damodara prayers, the whole Damodara Astakam is glorifying the Lord's attraction to the Braja Rasa, you know, the more spontaneous Braja Rasa mood. And so, you know, this is prominent in the Gaudiya tradition, you know, attracting people to the, you know, that Braja. But you know, if someone does not develop a taste for that, you know, then Bhaktisiddhanta is saying they should be instructed in a taste which is according, you know, which is suitable to their taste, their ruchi, their taste. And you know, this is shown in the pastimes of Hanuman, Murari Gupta, Anupam. You know, there are three examples there where they actually were more attracted to Ram, or, you know, in some cases, you know, Vaikuntha aspect, not the Braja mood. And they literally tried to encourage them, but they wanted to stay on that particular platform. And therefore, it was proper to then instruct them on that platform that they were attracted to and fixed up. See? So, you know, we encourage everyone in one sense. The opportunity is there. You want to be attracted to the Braja mood. But if we see that, no, you know, they're really fixed up in the Vaikuntha mood, or, you know, even up to Ram, then they should be instructed to act on that. Otherwise, it's improper. There's no harm in giving the opportunity to be attracted. That's it. But underlying all of this, of course, is that whatever platform, in all cases, having the mood of the eternal, the servant of the Lord, and always being very attracted to serving the Lord, is conducive for all of them. And so therefore, dasya is sort of quite universal, really, isn't it? You know, Shravan, Kirtan, and Vishnu Smaranam, dasyam. Dasyam is actually, universally applicable for all of them. No one can say, well, you know, we're following, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attracted to the Sringara Rasa, therefore we're not interested in dasya. That would be incorrect. So, is that Angie, you could, yeah. So, yeah. So, and what we see also that, for instance, just as archanam is a process, you know, generally recommended for neophyte devotees or grihasthas who may have a lot of material affiliations, or so-called material, a spiritual master who's on the Raga Bhakti platform, not the Vaidhi platform, may still engage in archanam in order to engage the disciples in that process, even though they're on a spontaneous platform, that they engage in Vaidhi Bhakti, because archanam is generally done in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Properly. So in a similar way, a spiritual master may be on one of the Braja Basi rasas, such as Madhuri Rasa, Sringara Rasa, but may, instruct their disciples how to follow the process of dasyam, which dasyam is, in effect, you know, these shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, these are nine processes of sadhana bhakti, which, when a devotee elevates himself from sadhana bhakti to Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service, they still execute those nine processes of bhakti. There are nine processes of sadhana bhakti. You know, there are 64 items of sadhana bhakti that bring one to the platform of pure devotional service. And those 64 items of sadhana bhakti can be summarized as nine. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc. So, dasyam, in actuality, it can be practiced as an item of sadhana bhakti, Then it can also be executed, as an item of pure devotional service. So then you have, acharyas who execute dasyam. They're showing their disciples how to serve the Lord and to practice sadhana bhakti by acting as a servant of the Lord. But their service of the Lord is of a very high caliber, and therefore, it's executed as pure devotional service. These items, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, generally, although they're items of sadhana bhakti, they're more readily practiced by very elevated devotees than very neophyte devotees, properly. So generally neophyte devotees can execute archanam more easily than the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So, a neophyte devotee can execute archanam easier than being a preacher. And preaching is based upon Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So a neophyte devotee can execute archanam. They're doing some regular deity worship. It's helping to regulate the senses, which without the regulation tend to, the senses tend to go here and there. A preacher, their senses are already fixed up, means that without the regular principles, without everything being so regulated, they can still, their mind and senses are always fixed on Krishna, and they can become preachers. So, the dasyam, the sakyam, atmanivedanam, they're also activities of very, great preachers. Prabhupada took on a service to Krishna. What is that? What is that service? Let's preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, you see. So, that's dasyam. That's executing, a service that has to be done. Spread Krishna consciousness. So that's the service that has to be done. Someone has to open up centers all over the world. Who can do that? A great preacher. Not a neophyte. So dasyam. we'll look at sakyam. Sakyam is also there. There's a confidential aspect to it, which we're going to look at next. And there's complete surrender. So, but there are items of sadhana bhakti. Now, while the spiritual master who's capable of performing dasyam, sakyam, apnavedam, he's performing them perfectly, because he's an advanced devotee, he is showing his disciples to follow his example and also take up that same service. You help me to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So they're also doing, you help me establish the temple, you help me to write these books. So they're also taking up dasyam, the mood of I'm the servant of Krishna, from the very beginning, in one sense, with the momentum of the acharya, they picked up by the momentum and the force of the acharya, and they're also engaged. They're picking up that mood of serving the Lord. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we may have come for our own spiritual salvation, but then we understand, although we're here for our spiritual salvation, actually Krishna's got something he would like us to do, if we, above and beyond how we're looking after our going back to Godhead, there's something Krishna would like us to do for him, some great service which would be, very pleasing to Krishna. That's to distribute what you've gained, distribute that to others, see? So then that dasham mood. Okay, well, this is for Krishna then. You know, this is to execute his order above and beyond, you know, that there's a, you know, there's a mission to fulfill on behalf of Krishna. We're not advanced enough to do it, but, you know, we can, as part of our sadhana bhakti, we can take up that service attitude for Krishna, spreading Krishna consciousness. But certainly we can't execute dasyam perfectly like a great spiritual acharya who is literally, you know, he's the one, you know, Prabhupada's the one who's actually spreading Krishna consciousness. We could never do that. We could never, you know, take up dasyam to that level. So, as you said, there's many levels of dasyam, properly executed by a very mature devotee. But because it's an item of sadhana bhakti, under the guidance of such a very advanced devotee, one will be trained in that dasyam from the very beginning. So there's training in dasyam, executing the service of the Lord, not just, you know, looking after your own spirit, but Krishna has something he would like you to do for him. You know, like Arjun. You know, Arjun, you know, Arjun executed the order of Krishna as a servant. Prabhupada mentioned that in one of his lectures we read. So he perfectly, you know, carried out this dasyam. But of course, you know, there was more, because Arjun didn't just carry out that order of, you know, fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, he shared a very confidential friendship with Krishna as a companion. And that. So, so, you know, so we have mentioned that, you know, this dasyam, dasya and sakyam, you know, of two types, and, you know, both executing the same activities, but, you know, one is of a greater level of realization, such as that executed by the acharyas, you know, like Prabhupada. So he's practicing, showing us how to practice the one of the nine processes of pure devotional service, you know, training us in sadhana bhakti, in dasyam. His would be of the second category of someone who has a very, you know, elevated, fixed up consciousness with great realization of, you know, that principle of service to the Lord. And, you know, the followers may be more the first category with, you know, a less intense realization and, you know, participation like that. Right. So then, you know, above and beyond that, we've described a little bit about, you know, dasyarati and sakyarati, or, you know, transcendental, you know, attachments to the Lord, you know, whereby one gradually, you know, tastes rasa, you know, in that constitutional position. So we've discussed those. So they're above and beyond that. You know, certainly, following these items of sadhana bhakti or pure devotional service, these nine items can lead to those, but in another sense we shouldn't confuse that they are that. You know, so in other words, if devotees are serving Srila Prabhupada, who's trying to serve Krishna's mission by spreading Krishna consciousness, and we're also becoming Krishna's servants under the, you know, watching how Prabhupada is serving Krishna, and we're also serving Krishna in that way. So we would not consider that dasya is dasyarati, that platform beyond a shakti, you know, practically on bhava bhakti, even beyond where one, you know, has this transcendental attachment to the Lord, which can precipitate in rasa. So we're not considering it that, but it can lead to that. Don't confuse it, the two are the same, but it can lead to that. Taking up this mood of service to Krishna is very conducive to gradually coming to, you know, where we will taste rasa in one of the five different, you know, rasas. And, you know, when someone does come to those level of rasa or, you know, rati, like Shyamananda Prabhu, you know, they may, serve the Lord in that particular mood, transcendental relationship, but it's not necessarily their eternal relationship. They may have. So they're connected, but don't ever mix them up as the same thing. That's what I'm saying. You know, they're progressive and they help to go from one level to the other. Gradually, we want to get to that position where we have, you know, we're experiencing what's practically, a transcendental relationship with the Lord in one of the five different rasas. We're experiencing that, we want to get to that point. So that's the point of, you know, prema bhakti, bhava bhakti. Even when we get to that point, we may be like Shyamananda practicing dasyarati, although gradually we're going to come to our original rasa, although it's just not manifest, you know, dasya or sakyarati, and then, you know, eventually when, you know, our original rasa manifests, we may go to conjugal rasa like that. So that's a very elevated platform. And these platforms of sadhana bhakti, they can help us transform, you know, right into that spiritual realm. They can bring us to that point. They are items of sadhana bhakti. But these items can also, you know, are performed by pure devotees on very elevated platforms who engage us in those activities to show us how it's done. And here on this platform of dasyam, this item of is it the sixth item?
Six or seven? Six.
Yeah. Of the nine postures of devotional service, there are two types. One is a very elevated stage, which we see the personalities like Prabhupada and the Acharyas perform when they're carrying out a service of the Lord. And the other is, you know, their followers who are trying to be trained up in sadhana bhakti and pure devotional service, who may, you know, not be able to execute that service on that level, but certainly, you know, their level of dasya is acceptable that they are following that item of one of those nine items of devotional service. We've seen in Prabhupada's lectures, you know, that he's very generous actually. But if we're all serving Krishna to try and spread his movement, then we're trying to act as servants of the Lord. You know, but there's a variety of that which we can't do, which is on the platform of the acharyas, and we always have to distinguish. Yeah, we can't say, yes, I'm doing what Prabhupada is serving the Lord, I'm also serving the Lord, we're both practicing Vaishya. But there is a variety which is very elevated, and a variety can be practiced even on the sadhana bhakti, for the sadhana bhakti, bhaktas like that, you know. And even very elevated devotees are not necessarily on the level of acharyas, though. But still, although we're not confusing this item of devotional service with one of the five different rasas, still we're encouraged to follow in the footsteps of those who are in those rasas, such as Arjuna and Hanuman. So they're actually in those rasas. So we are still advised, follow in their footsteps. Just as we're not on the level of Srila Prabhupada, who's in the very, you know, practices dasyam in the highest level, the second category, we're not on that level, but still we're encouraged to follow in his footsteps and serve as he's doing. So in a similar way, and by following Srila Prabhupada, because he has an eternal relationship with the Lord also, you know, he's tasting rasa, you know, it's similar to following Hanuman or Arjuna. You know, if we follow Prabhupada, no difference between following Prabhupada and following Arjuna. They're both executing the mission of the Lord, you know, as servants, you know, this dasyam principle. So we can follow one who's, you know, situated in eternal rasa with the Lord. And specifically, you know, so Prabhupada, understanding that, this mood of dasyam, whether it be one of the items, the nine items of devotional service, or whether it be dasyarati, it's still conducive on the path to conjugal love, if that's where, you know, in the mood of Brajavasi, if that's where you're going to end up. It's required for everyone. Like that. So therefore, there was no need for him to, showing that is enough. Because, you know, if one does that perfectly, everything else will come. So, just a final summary there that going back to our topic of ruchi, that ruchi is this attachment to spiritual things, you know, serving the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, we may serve the Lord in one of these nine processes of devotional service, and we may have a particular attraction for one of them. We may, we want to serve the Lord. We might, particularly like to hear. We might particularly like to speak. We might particularly like to, remember, or to combine them and preach, or to do archanam or parasevanam. You know, or offer prayers, different things like that. So, they are how we execute our devotional service, really, with one's... It's external, in one sense, that we're externally active. We're using our mouth, we're using our, bodies, like that. But similarly... that ruchi is developing with a mood for, and we become, we get a greed for one of those different types of services, which, apparently external, but also internally, we also develop an internal attraction, either for, the mood of serving the Lord in awe and reverence in Vaikuntha, or, in the Brajavasi mood, and, also... we might particularly, gradually develop a taste for, you know, Dasyam, Sakyarati, you know, actually even you know, on a very elevated level, we may actually develop a, you know, an initial taste for, you know, particular rasas, you know, or a particular type of attachment. So there's that internal ruchi, and there's that external ruchi manifest in the 9 different processes of devotional service. And but either way, it's an attachment to serving the Lord. They're, you know, being greedy to serve the Lord. Now, and what we see that, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's from Nectar, I'll read you a section from Nectar Devotion, chapter 16. But first I'll read the verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is 1.2.296. It says, learned acharyas know that the 64 practices of Vaidhi Bhakti, headed by hearing and chanting, are also useful in Raghunuga Bhakti. So, now, here's an explanation of this from the Waves of Devotion. Raghunuga sadhana does not entail rejection of Vaidhi, but actually requires a more focused concentration upon particular aspects conducive to an individual devotee's particular service mood. For example, the Raghunuga Bhakta does not abandon regular hearing and chanting. Rather, such a devotee focuses hearing and chanting upon topics that specifically nourish his particular serving mood. So, in Vaidhi Bhakti, one is advised to always regularly hear and, you know, what do you say, you know, hearing and chanting. Now, in Raghunuga Bhakti, one doesn't discard that injunction of Vaidhi Bhakti. But one, you know, it's more focused on hearing and chanting connected to the particular mood that one is, you know, of devotional service that one, you know, is attracted to. And that mood, both, you know, internally and externally. As we said, Raghunuga Bhaktis, you know, they do have a high, you know, a higher concentration of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, more so than Archanam. So there's that external. And Raghunuga Bhaktis also, you know, are attracted to the Brajabasi mood of serving Krishna. So their hearing and chanting, you know, is like that, you know, what is that spontaneous, exclusive, pure, you know, affectionate attraction to Krishna, you know, solely focus on Krishna. They like to hear and chant in that mood. The Vaidhi Bhaktis may do a lot of hearing and chanting, and there may be a lot more focus on the deity worship and the nature of Vaikuntha, you know, how to return to Vaikuntha. So, you know, they're both following. So it's not that the Vaidhi Bhakti principles are rejected, but they're more focused in a Raghunuga Bhakti way. But, you know, what Rupa Goswami is saying, that actually the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti are conducive for those who follow the Raghunuga Bhakti as well. They're useful for them as well. In this Waves of Devotion, chapter 16, it mentions deity worship is another example. The Raghunuga devotee does not reject this aspect of Vaidhisadhana. They don't reject deity worship. He may continue to worship the deity, but in a way conducive to his devotional mood. Later in the chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami will illustrate this with the story of the old man who developed the aspiration to love Krishna in a paternal mood. Narada Muni advised him to worship the deity as his beloved son, following in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada extracts the essence of this third instruction from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And as I mentioned, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that when I was given, my family was given the Govardhan Shila, you know, my spiritual master said, serve him you treat him like your son. You know, so performing archman, still, you know, following the regulative principles of, you know, worship, but there is a cultivation, being instructed there by the spiritual master, you know, to keep it within the mood of, you know, Raghunuga Bhakti. So, you know, you can look at the deity as your son, worshipping, and you understand he's not different from Krishna, or the main focus is that, you know, he is, you know, the Lord, you know, the Supreme Master, which is a strong mood within the awe and reverence, Vaidhi Bhakti. Now, here's what Prabhupada says about this whole section in Nectar of Devotion. So the Prabhupada says that Srila Rupa Goswami says that learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulative principles even after the development of spontaneous love for Krishna. See this Raghunuga Bhakti. According to regular principles, there are 9 departmental activities as described above. That's the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusram. They're actually regular principles, they're processes of sadhana bhakti. And one should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service in which he has a natural aptitude. For example, one person may have a particular interest in hearing, another may have a particular interest in chanting, and another may have a particular interest in serving in the temple. So these, or any of the other 6 different types of devotional service, remembering, serving, praying, engaging in some particular service, being in a friendly relationship, or offering everything in one's possession, should be executed in full earnestness. In this way, everyone should act according to his particular taste. So Prabhupada is saying, you know, there's a lot in that statement that, you know, there are the regulative principles, of which 9 processes of devotional service spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, are expanded into 64. 64 items of sadhana bhakti, and they can be executed. All of they can be executed by Vaidhi Bhaktis. But if one develops a taste for Raghunuga Bhakti, means that not the Vaikuntha mood of serving the Lord, but the Prajavasi mood of serving the Lord, then one performs those same items, but one may develop a particular, one may, as Prabhupada says here, one should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. And he says, for example, one may have a particular interest in hearing, another chanting, like that, you see. And we all know that there's a basic, you know, principle. We all chant 16 rounds, follow the 4 regular principles. But above and beyond that, you know, there's another, you know, 20-odd hours in the day. What are we going to do? You know, so then we can fill it with some of the main things, you know. Gradually a devotee should, you know, will naturally develop a taste, naturally. And for, you know, in the nine processes of devotional service, some of them appeal to them more, you know. So for preachers, it's usually Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc. if they want to execute the mission of the Lord and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, then Dasyam is also there, Atmanivedanta. And they're our external service. Internal means, you know, as Prabhupada mentions, in this way everyone should act according to his particular taste. You know, or also there's an internal where, you know, if we're attracted to the raga nuga mood and we're attracted to hearing and chanting, remembering, then we're attracted to hearing and chanting, remembering, more specifically about that related to Brajabasi mood than Vaikuntha mood. Therefore, you know, every year, you know, we, in the month of Kartik, every morning we recite the prayers of Damodar. Why? To help to cultivate that mood specifically, above all other things we could meditate upon. You know, so it's like that. So those regulatory principles help us that you're hearing and chanting, but, you know, more of this. And, you know, if you're not doing more of the Raga Nuga, then, you know, at least now, at least during Kati. yeah, any questions, comments?
I'm just trying to, based on this, I'm trying to understand between Vaidhi and Raga Nuga. So Vaidhya and Raganga could be distinct, at the same time there could be an overlap also, isn't it?
They could be what?
It could be distinct, you know, in the case of advanced devotees, right? Like Raganga, you know,
yeah. They
follow, you know, without any rules and regulations. But in certain cases it could be also overlap, isn't it? In the sense that we are following the rules, at the same time we can show the Raganga also. Is that?
Well,
See, Vaidhya is basically, you know, as far as my understanding, it's that we have to follow rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And Raga Nuga is completely, you know, there is basically no rules and regulations because they have attained that stage. Like in the case of Mother Yashoda, and, you know, they did not have to chant 16 rounds because they are already, you know, on their platform. But as a practicing devotee, performing Vaidhi, now we can also, you know,
well, what this verse from Nectar Devotion is saying that the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti are also helpful for the Raga Nuga Bhaktis. There's no need to reject them. It's just a matter of, you know, being more focused for your taste.
And for us, this is the only way. Only Vaidhi and then only you can progress. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, well, we're discussing, you know, really this ruchi, you know, which is after nishta. Nishta, you know, devotees following rules and regulations, Vaidhi Bhakti. You know, it's sort of that point, a mature stage of nishta. Generally, devotees accept brahmana, you know, when they've shown themselves to be fixed up. But above and beyond that, when they're fixed up and then they develop, you know, a real taste above and beyond just being fixed up, you know, in devotional service. But a particular taste and enthusiasm for certain things, then that ruchi will either manifest, that ruchi will either manifest as a taste for the that you like the Vaidhi Bhakti mood, which is conducive to the Vaikuntha, you know, mood of devotional service. Whereas that ruchi means that, you know, you're still following these principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, but, you know, many of them, you know, are particularly conducive to, you know, how you want to serve, following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. As an example, we said, you know, with one may still follow deity worship, but those, you know, fixed on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, even though they become pure devotees, still, you know, their attraction is Vaikuntha, awe and reverence. And when they worship the deity, they'll see that Lord always as their master, their Lord. But the Raganuga Bhaktis, you know, they may also continue to worship the Lord, and they may have a strong attraction that of all the services I like to do, even though they're Raganuga Bhaktis, they say, amongst all the services I like to do, my favourite is deity worship. But when they worship the deity, you know, they're remembering, you know, the different things that they really enchant about, how, you know, the Brajabasis treat Krishna like their son, their friend, and they worship the deity in seeing Krishna in that mood. Yeah, it is. that to you know, hear and chant in the association, you know, of devotees who have that Raganuga taste. That, you know, who want to cultivate, learn how to perform their devotional service imbued with that Brajabasi mood. They want to learn that process, and they want to learn that internal cultivation and, you know, the external practices in this world that support that internal meditation. So, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, in the Shishastikam, you know, we all chant Hare Krishna, which is a predominant, when we first began talking about Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, we understand that in the beginning hearing is especially important. And one should, you know, always maintain that process of hearing. Even like Uddhava, you know, he then had to hear from the Brajabasis, you know, in order to, you know, help for him to cultivate that mood above and beyond the mood that he had. And which, you know, is there in Dwarka. But chanting, as we see, especially in this day and age, but chanting is, you know, should be predominant, you know, method of serving Krishna. You know, the hearing, chanting, and remembering are the backbone of all the other services we do, and above them, you know. You know, hearing, especially in the beginning, and chanting always, you know, should be predominant. And as we chant Hare Krishna, then gradually that chanting will be chanting in a mood of separation from Krishna. (clears throat) which is, you know, very conducive to the Brajabasi mood. So that, so, you know, we experience a mood of separation from Krishna through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Realizing that Krishna is not different from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you know, realizing, you know, Krishna is you know, the supreme object of love and attachment, and that you know, from that, then, you know, the mood that of being separated, that somehow or another we're lost in this material world and we're separated from Krishna. So you know, that so predominantly chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, also we're chanting, you know, when we, as we described, in the process of chanting, you know, one who chants the name of the Lord properly will then also be able to hear and chant about the form. You know, one who hears and chants about the form of Krishna will be able to, you know, hear and chant and realize the qualities, you know, that they're non-different from the name and the form, and that, and then the pastimes, you know, and lila paraphernalia, devotees of the Lord. So, from chanting Hare Krishna, gradually our realization of the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees, all you know, begins to manifest within our consciousness very nicely as we chant Hare Krishna. And that, you know, you know, feeling that presence of Krishna in that way, you know, then you know, realizing the you know, the pastimes of the Lord helps us to then, you know, that we become attracted, you know. We you know, you know, for instance, if someone, you know, watches a movie, and, you know, there's you know, someone is the mother of the children, and she protects the children from the war and the famine and so many things, and gradually she saves all of her children, and then the mother dies. And if you're watching that movie, you'll probably cry. You'll probably cry along, you know, the children will be crying, you'll probably cry as well. Or sometimes it's just a war horse, you know. The horse goes through the war and then, you know, gets separated from its master that it knew, you know, before the war, and then gradually they meet up at the end. You can't help, you know, that separation, and then meet, even a horse, you'll cry, you see. So, so what happens as you chant Hare Krishna, but you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're, you know, also hearing and chanting, reading, you know, about especially the Brajabasi, you know, pastimes of the Lord, that's there to some degree. And but as you're chanting, you get a nice realization. You know, you really, you can, you know, it's almost like you're there. You know, you feel the presence. You know, you can understand, you know, what Krishna and is going through, what Radharani is going through. You know, as we said, sometimes you know, Radharani is saying she's separated from Krishna, but we don't feel nothing. We don't feel anything, you know. Or Radharani's feel, what does that even mean? But, you know, as in the case, you know, for instance, if I said, oh yeah, there was a war horse that got separated from its master, you don't feel anything. But if you watch the movie, then you think, oh, you know, I cried all the way, you know. So what happens is, you know, basically by chanting Hare Krishna, you know, the pastimes manifest, you understand, you can sort of relate to it. And as you relate to it, and you understand this is, you know, a transcendental reality. You know, the Lord's holy name is non-different from the Lord himself. That is a reality, it's not some fiction. And the pastimes of Krishna are a transcendental reality, it's not a fiction, you know. Then, and therefore, and you can relate to them in a very profound, deep way, and you feel Krishna's presence, then these things are conducive to becoming attracted, you know, to Krishna, and even feeling the separation that, you know, the Brajabasis feel. So, you know, by absorbing yourself in that, you feel that. You know, if you go and associate with, you know, people who are living in a very suffering country, and they're starving, and they're being shot, and they're being tortured, and, you know, you'll feel sorrow every day because you're so, you know, it's firsthand. Now, because there's no association, you know, people are in that state, but we don't feel anything, see. So when you associate with Krishna through his pastimes like that, you naturally, you know, just like you hear music, you know, you hear a song and it makes you feel like laughing, it makes you, so because you associate with that song. When the song's not there, you know, there's nothing. So you associate with the pastimes, it actually, you know, opens up a window to the spiritual world, but it's not a movie, it's a transcendental reality that you're associating with, and you'll naturally be attracted to, and, affiliate your soul with what is happening in that transcendental reality. So, you know, we make our devotional practices in such a way that we have that opportunity. You know, we mould our... So, whereas those who are not attracted to that, they may mould their, you know, of the 64 items of devotional service, they may, you know, be more attracted to those that not so much the Brajabasi mood, but the Vaikuntha mood. So by including that, you know, and focusing your devotional activities, both externally and internally, you know, on the raga bhakti process, with devotees who are practicing that, Srila Prabhupada is practicing raga bhakti. You know, we follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada, for instance, you know, one of the things Prabhupada did was, you know, when in writing the Krishna book, he dictated the Krishna book. You know, he did a summary, and he would, you know, on the dictaphone, he would paraphrase the verses of the 10th canto into a summary verses, which became the Krishna book. And when he was... So he was, you know, basically this will become a book, so it's just, you know, it's a very, what do you say... It's like an editorial task in one. If I speak it, then they'll put it into a book form. But of course, you know, as he goes through, and, you know, I know when he comes to the part where the gopis are feeling separated because, you know, Krishna had left, and, you know, they're offering prayers to Krishna, you know, expressing that separation. How they feel that, you know, he's just left. And Prabhupada is speaking in the dictaphone and he begins to cry. You know, literally the same mood that the gopis have. So you hear the dictaphone stop and then it comes back on and then he repeats it. You see? So, you know, we follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. He's executing dasyam, an item of sadhana bhakti, regularly hearing and chanting. And especially, you know, but always keeping Krishna and in focus. And then, you know, when, you know, so, you know, there's a focus on books like Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There's so many books that Prabhupada could have translated. You know, he could have done the Mahabharata, could have done the Ramayana, he could have done the different Puranas. You know, he did Nectar Devotion, very conducive to, you know, topics leading to rasa. Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, of which 90 chapters, you know, in the 10th canto, but of course he didn't get right through that, but he did do the Krishna book. And he wrote other books as well. So in one sense, he's following sadhana and bhakti, but they're highly imbued with externally preaching, a high concentration of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, preaching, and also the books that he wrote led to the conclusion of Brajabasi. You know, they all push you in that direction. So, you know, we've studied Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava. We're doing Bhakti Vedanta, so we're going to get into Krishna Leela and Krishna willing, you know. If we do Bhakti Sarvabhauma, then that's passed on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which his whole life is, you know, an example of how a devotee practice, you know, it goes from taking an initiation, follows the regular principles of chanting Hare Krishna and etc. From that develops Bhava Bhakti, and from that enters into, you know, Prema Bhakti. And so, you know, his final pastimes, the Ancha Leela, is the example of a devotee's life absorbed in a. So as a preacher, you know, there's the Raganuga, and as, you know, in the advanced stage, he's absorbed in Prema Bhakti. But, so we really just have to follow what Prabhupada did. Means that we in order to preach, preaching means that we show people how to follow the process of sadhana bhakti. So, you know, in preaching we follow, and but within our own sadhana, you know, there's more opportunity for, you know, cultivation of the Raganuga, and that's what Prabhupada did. You know, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati, the course favourite reading book was Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. So, you know, he was a great scholar, you know, translated and published so many books, but his favourite reading was that on that platform of Raganuga and, you know, Prema Bhakti, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, and you know, that's what Prabhupada says in this in this Nectar Devotion, chapter 16. He says, Srila Rupa Goswami says, a really important paragraph, Srila Rupa Goswami says that learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regular principles even after the development of spontaneous love for Krishna, which is means Raghunuga Bhakti. We got that ruchi, at least that, you know, an attraction for the spontaneous love. We've got at least that attraction. We've developed, you know, at least an attraction for that. That's, you know, we want that ruchi. And long after development of that, we should follow the regular principles. According to the regular principles, he gives it 9 departmental activities. And one should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service which has for which he has a natural aptitude. So therefore he's saying, you know, maybe it's more Shravanam or Kirtanam or, you know, Archanam, like that. In this way, everyone should act according to his particular taste. And as described by Srila Prabhupada in many of his lectures in the different books, that, you know, for the Raghunuga Bhaktis, especially this Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, hearing and chanting, and particularly about, you know, to enhance their realization of an ability to follow in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. According to one's taste. So that's a very clear instruction there by Srila Prabhupada. Now, Vani Bhai Bhava, I'll just read the last statement here by Bhaktisiddhanta on this topic. He says, those whose hearts are fully transcendental develop the taste to subordinate themselves under the residence of Braja. Therefore, greed or ruchi for Raghunuga Bhakti is the only indication of one's constitutional propensity. So he's saying here that when one's heart is fully transcendental, those persons develop the ruchi, or, you know, a particular taste, either for Vaikuntha or, you know, the Raghunuga, and that taste, you know, is, he says, it's the only indication of one's constitutional propensity. So one who, you know, one who has attraction for eternally serving the personality of Godhead as the Brajabasis do, that's an indication, you know, if one has, you know, properly, one's heart is fully spiritually situated and that taste develops, that's an indication of one's constitutional propensity. If on the fully spiritual platform that attraction is not there, it is more for, you know, Vaikuntha or Ram, you know, then you know, that is an indication of the constitution of propensity, isn't it? So we discussed a lot of things there, and
is there any in devotional songs? It is often one of the verses that, oh Lord, may I serve your devotees, and only then I will get devotion service to you. Is that any time coming in the verses? Because in Shastra, because I've heard it in the songs, but I've not heard it in actually Shastra. Because sometimes, many times we find devotees who are ready to serve senior devotees and all that, but then other devotees whom they feel are not worth considering, their behavior is different, which is not the etiquette. And because according to the songs, you cannot get pure devotional service if you do not respect other people. In fact, all living entities. We have to respect all living entities to get the love of God. Does that come out, and what is that actually?
To give an example of that, when Srila Prabhupada was, after he'd left his family, he stayed for a little bit of time in one math, one of his godbrothers had a centre, and he stayed there, and that godbrother allowed him to do some editing of their little magazine. It was a very small publication with their printing press and what have you. Now, that his godbrother went away for a little bit, and Srila Prabhupada was getting the devotees in that temple, to try and expand, for the pleasure of, their spiritual master, so Prabhupada's godbrother, that magazine, to make it a little bit more higher quality, more pages, more articles, more distributed more often. So, a little bit more benefit for the readers, now, when what happened was they didn't want that. The disciples, the followers of the spiritual master, they didn't want that. And, they behaved in such a way that Prabhupada left suddenly and went to Vrindavan. He wasn't coming back. So, in this case, what they were doing was following the mood of their spiritual master, who's a godbrother of Prabhupada, that their spiritual master didn't want to expand it, because, it would be extra work, extra money, and extra headache. So, this is enough to, everything looks like it's going on, but we don't want more of a headache. That's a lot of work and money for everyone. So don't expand it like that. So they followed his. Now, when his spiritual master came back, he asked, where is the Bhaktivedanta? And he said, he left because he wanted to do this, he wanted to do that. We said he couldn't do that, and so he left. So then their spiritual master, Prabhupada's godbrother, got very disturbed. Oh, you have committed a great offence. So you will have to go there to Vrindavan. So this is hundreds of miles away. You will have to go there and beg his forgiveness, and invite him if he wants to come back, and apologize. See? Which they did. Prabhupada didn't come back, but the point is this, that as you're saying, sometimes the devotee, they are following a particular senior devotee who wants things done in a certain way. And they may feel that justifies them completely neglecting another very senior devotee. But what we see in that example is that although that devotee, that godbrother, he understood, I'm going to do it my way, which is different to the way that Prabhupada, it's completely different. I completely disagree with him. But you cannot offend that devotee, under my authority, or as if, because we want something done differently, that you can neglect offend, disrespect, or, you know, cause displeasure to another senior devotee. That's not authorized.
But is it then in Shastra, reference to that?
Well, that's the Prabhupada Lila Mrila.
That's
Shastra.
I mean, you've been quoting so many things and saying about following the footsteps of senior people and following them. But it is there so much in devotional songs. If Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he said, I mean, in all those devotional songs you have, that in fact they ask for, that can I have love for all the living entities? Only then can I have love for you. It is there in so many devotional songs, but I've never heard it in Shastra, that much of emphasis.
Yeah, that is there in Shastra. There's many, you know, many places in the Bhagavatam where, you know, it describes it only by, you know, taking the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava can one obtain the mercy of Krishna. You know, there's many statements like that in the Bhagavatam.
That is Vaishnavas, but even any living entity, you can't offend any living entity. It could be a Vaishnava or not a Vaishnava.
Mm.
But we can't offend people and try to service.
Yeah, that's in the 11th canto. You know, in relationship to deity worship, so Krishna says there, he explains, you know, in a summary way how to perform devotional service as far as deity worship in the 11th canto, and, you know, in the principles of deity worship, and there he mentions, but it, you know, and then also in the 3rd canto, actually, the teachings of Lord Kapila, you know, he explains the process of you know, also, you know, worshipping the Lord. You know, it's described that, but if one, you know, worships the deity of the Lord, but, you know, offends other living entities, then, you know, so there's a couple of places in the Bhagavatam is mentioned that, you know, if one worships the deity of the Lord, but offends other living entities, the Lord will not accept that person's deity worship. He will not accept that person's worship. So, you know, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam in a couple of places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not
in what?
The Bhagavad Gita. It's not there. The normal Bhagavad Gita, we say, is a foundation. It's not there in Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, yeah, it's in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. Mm. There's several places where...
I think what you're mentioning is King Nabi, isn't it, Guru?
Nabi?
King Nabi, when he's performing sacrificial, they're talking
you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 25, one who is beyond duality and doubt, whose mind is engaged within, who is always busy working for the welfare of all sentient beings, and who is free from all sins, achieves liberation in the Supreme. So, you know, there, Krishna actually explains that, you know, if one is not working for the welfare of all living beings, one will be committing some sinful activities. You know, and where this, you know, one is engaged in sinful activities, it creates obstacles on that path of devotional service.
But some of the emphasis is not there, though, like you have it in the songs.
No, the songs are a summary of the principles of the scripture. You know, there are other verses in Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, at the end of the seventh chapter also, 7:28, it was 7:27, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by dualities of desire, hate. And text number 28, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So, you know, there also describes that, you know, one who, you know, is implicated in sin, which means causing trouble to any living entity, cannot engage in one's Krishna's devotional service with determination. You know, so there, you know, it's... you know, in the first hand, he's saying that, you know, one should work for the benefit of all living entities to attain liberation. That person will attain. Here it's saying in the other way that, that person, as described before, they're not committing sinful activities because they're working for the benefit of other living entities. So their sinful actions are eradicated. They can engage themselves in devotional service with determination. Otherwise, they can't. So, you know, there are different references there in the Gita that Krishna's not just talking about, you know, being aware that devotees who preach Krishna consciousness are very dear to him, but he's saying that they should work for the benefit of all living entities. If they're not, they're engaged in sinful activities, and if they're engaged in sinful activities, they cannot serve him with determination. They cannot be fixed up in devotional service. So, yeah. But also in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, that is expanded, where, you know, if one is engaged in worshipping the Lord or in deity worship, or the super soul, but one is committing sinful activity or violence to another living, any living entity, the Lord will not accept his service. Yeah. So it's something, you know, it's described that as something like, massaging the Lord's lotus feet and then slapping him in the head. You know, so you kill some living entity and you massage his feet. You know, it's like the massage is like the service you're doing, and then you slap him in the head, because when you kill some other living entity, in Krishna's eyes, these are servants, these are his devotees from the spiritual world. From our eyes, you know, it's just some other living entity in the material world. Krishna's eyes, it's not. So, you know, there are different references there. What to speak of Vaishnavas. Anyway, that's an important discussion there. It gives us an idea of the different levels of dasyam. Yes, yeah. And, it is conducive to ultimately attaining, you know, rati, establishing oneself in one of the five rasas. Don't confuse the two as the same. We've also discussed two different levels of dasyam. It can be performed in sadhana bhakti, and it's also performed on a very high level by pure devotees who are showing us how to perform dasyam, but they're doing it perfectly, and they're also doing it from, you know, the platform of someone who's also you know, perfectly following in the footsteps of Hanuman, Arjun, like that. So we'll just leave it there. Next, so that will help us to understand Sakyam in the same light that it is. You know, we'll look at that next time, not next week. Sorry about that, Chief, but I won't be there next week. Perhaps the week after. I've got something come up. But Sakyam, we'll look at it in the same light. It's an aspect of devotional service. It can be performed on a very elevated level by devotional service. Don't confuse it with eternal rasa of Sakyam, but, you know, they're conducive to getting there. Jai, all glories to the Prabhupada.